The Lord promises to satisfy his poor people that yearn for food from heaven with bread. And that's why we turn also, as that is our theme this morning, we turn to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, and we start reading at verse 13 through 21. This is God's word. When Jesus heard of it, that's the death of John the Baptist, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up the fragments of the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God is forever the same. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what would you do? What would you do when you've just heard devastating news, a message that perhaps upsets you? Where do you go? Where do you go? Is it times like that? Is it that you want to go to the Lord in prayer and be alone with God, to pour out your heart before him? Is it in times like that that you want to be as undisturbed as possible? But what if others need you? What moms if your children need you? What dads if there's something that you need to do to reach out to this person or that person? Do you say, "It's my time. I want to be undisturbed"? We are going to look this morning at the Blessed Savior. He is glorious. He's beautiful. He's generous in everything he does. He was completely perfect and set apart. He served the Lord perfectly. He served others perfectly, unlike us by nature. And even after grace, we can serve him perfectly. What did he do? What did he do with his time? What did he do with his energy? How did he serve others? Well, when we come to our passage this morning, Matthew 24, 13 through 21, we hear that something happened. Before it, we can read that happened. What happened? It was John the Baptist was beheaded. Must have been a difficult time for the Lord Jesus, don't you think? John the Baptist, that special messenger of the Lord, had died. And so at the opening verses of our text, Jesus is looking to be alone with his disciples, alone with his Father. And that's why he enters into a boat and goes to the other side of the Sea of Tiberias. And there he is, at a desert place, alone. Have you come to be in the house of God, just to rest, to be alone with the Lord this morning? He knows our need. He knows your need, my need, better than we know our own need. He's planning to have some time of rest for himself and for his disciples, to pray to his Father, time to digest what has just happened. John the Baptist has died. And Jesus knew that his disciples needed some rest. And then to our surprise, we read in our chapter that as soon as he comes to the other side of the lake, he wants to get out of the ship, verse 14 tells us. Then we read in verse 13b, and they, the crowd, followed him on foot out of the cities. They followed him. There's work to do. What would you do? What would I do? What did Christ do? What did Christ do? We are going to see that he is a very generous Savior. As we consider these words from Matthew 14 through 13 through 21, and verse 13 I read only at this time, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. So our theme this morning is Jesus, our generous Savior. First of all, verse 14, the Savior's compassion. Then his calm control, verses 15 through 18. Then the Savior's prayer, 19a. And then the Savior's provision, 19b through 21. Savior's compassion, his calm control, his prayer, and his provision. First then, as we pray that the Lord would supply your and my need this morning through his word abundantly according to the riches that he has right now in glory, as we pray that, we consider the Savior's compassion. So to come back to that question, what would you and I do when the moment you are stepping out into a place where you had hoped to be alone, that's what happened to the Savior. He steps out of this boat and suddenly he finds this crowd waiting for him. And don't we all love our privacy at times? And don't we all need relaxation and time? And yes, that's good. The Lord knew that too. That's why he was planning to go there, and that's why he cared also for his disciples in that way. But have you had that sometimes? That when that something like this happened, you get a little irritated. I thought I would here be alone. Or some of us might maybe tempted, well, let's go back in the boat and go somewhere else where I can be alone. Or some of us might be tempted and say, well, you go home, crowd, right now. But now look at the Savior. Look at the Savior. This is the God-man. Let's remind ourselves of that simple truth. He is God and man, and he's come in this world to show us who God is. When we look at Jesus, we see God. We see God in the flesh. What does he do? What do we read in verse 14? And Jesus went forth, steps out of the boat, and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. He denied himself, took up his cross, and did what his Father expected from him. That's what he does. See that? He was moved with compassion. What does that mean? The Savior, even today in heaven, is moved with compassion when he sees a crowd in need. Deeply moved to the core of his being. That's who God is. Seeing the need of his people. He's sympathetic. He's empathetic. He knows. He has pity. We would say today, he was touched to the core of his being, all the way in his heart, moved with compassion. How precious. What did he see? How did he look? Mark 6, verse 34 tells us, and Jesus was moved with compassion, that's the parallel passage here, was moved with compassion, for they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. They had been, perhaps, with John the Baptist. They had maybe been with religious leaders, none like John and Jesus. And here, then, is that great shepherd of the sheep. And he knows his need. He knows your and my need this morning. He sees wandering sheep, lost sheep. He sees hungry sheep. He sees scattered sheep. He sees the need. And so he provides. He provides for your and my need as no one else can. He saw their need. He sees your and my need this morning. Isn't that precious? Beloved, isn't that precious? He sees your need. He sees my need. And our greatest need, we all know it, don't we? We as sheep have gone astray. We've tried to eat maybe this week from those pastures or those waters, drink from those waters that are filthy, sinful. As waters of death, a food that cannot really satisfy. Feed on death, feed on the world, feed on poison, perhaps. Have you come like that this morning, some of us? Deceitful lusts that ruin our soul. But he can this morning say, come to me. I can satisfy your soul in the green pastures of your word. This is the shepherd who sees those things. He knows those things and he can lead us. Jesus sees it. And what does he do? He knows it. It says, and he began to teach them many things, and he healed their sick. That's what Matthew adds. And Luke says both. He did both. Teach and supply their need, word and deed. Do you see the generous shepherd this morning? He is generous. Do you know that from your own life? Have you experienced that? That he's generous, he's good, he's gracious. He cares for all your need, your physical needs too. Some of us have been sick. I'm glad to see some who, for the first time in church this morning, after having been sick, the compassion of Jesus knows about these things. He supplies your need. And as you look at Jesus this morning, this is who the Father is. This is who the Father is, generous. How have you come this morning? What is your need? Have you come with your sin? Lay it before him. Jesus sees it. He knows it already. Or have you come with another type of need? Maybe a broken relationship. Jesus sees it. He knows it. Have you come to listen to the shepherd's voice? Have you perhaps come like Jesus in this situation with grief in your heart? He knows it too, what it is. He can sympathize this morning. He sees it. But to think about it, that he is moved with compassion. When he sees the weak, when he sees the scattered, when he sees the struggling among us, the lost, the hungry, he sees it all. The wandering sheep. Maybe those who are not here, wandering, he sees them. Maybe he sees you bruised and broken this morning by sin. He's moved with compassion. And he's the only one that can supply your and my need, whatever it is. He's, after all, God and man. Oh, listen to his voice this morning. Sit at his feet and listen. And open your heart toward him this morning by the Spirit. Our Savior is generous. Don't think he has no time for you. He has time for you. That's what we see here. He's that high priest that can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities, with the feelings of your weaknesses. What are your weaknesses? Lay them before him this morning. He is that one who has an open throne of grace 24/7. That throne of grace, you may come to him now in your time of need, this morning, right now, in your time of need, and he will not send you away. He's that risen and ascended high priest that is now in heaven praying for us. Pour out your heart before him this morning. And our text tells us that who he is and how he will receive you. He is still full of kind compassion, able to lead you out of your sin, to lead you to himself, to show you mercy. That's what we all need. And forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ and his cross. Maybe there's someone here this morning who struggles to believe this. Perhaps you say, everything seems to be against me. It seems that the Lord is not present in my life, that he's not answering my prayers, that he has forgotten about my needs, that he doesn't care about my needs. It feels often that I have nothing, that I come to him with empty hands. There I am again, from one need into the next. And there I stand, empty hands. Maybe there's someone here this morning who says, well, my life seems to be out of control. I don't know what to do. Here's a sympathetic high priest, a merciful Savior, this morning among us through his word. For him, nothing is out of control. Everything is under his control, calm control. That brings us to our second thought here this morning, the Savior's calm control. Don't you agree this morning that there is something in our lives, especially if you have been following the Lord Jesus Christ, that you constantly are brought to that place where you say, I have nothing. Can you relate to that? I have nothing. And I don't know what to do. And the only thing that you can do is come with all that need, with your sin, with your maybe ignorance about certain things and failure to trust at times and an impossibility of our situation, we may come this morning. But that's often how the Lord works, is it not? That he brings us to that place of need. And we don't like it, do we? By nature, we don't. He strips us of our human confidence. I can do it. And then that's the only way how he can show us the bounty and the abundance and the goodness and the grace and the mercy that overflow. That's what we see in this history as well. After a long day of teaching, the Lord Jesus here is in need of some rest, as we saw, and he's now being compassionately helping and healing. And then, children, what do we see? The sky is changing, the color of the sky is changing, as it were, and the crowd is still there. Jesus must be tired. The disciples are. And it's been a long day, and there's 5,000 men there, verse 21 tells us, probably an equal amount of women and children, 50,000 plus probably. That's a crowd. And the Lord has been teaching, and he has been healing, and he has been providing, and the disciples are now done. They are tired, and the Lord Jesus must be tired. Perhaps they're thinking, well, we have been patient the whole day now, and it's enough. And maybe there has been zooming something in their heads as, why doesn't Jesus just tell the people to go away? This is too much. And verse 15 then tells us, we see that the disciples are spent. And they come with their request to the Lord Jesus. Verse 15, what do they say? This is a desert place. And the time is now past. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. That means bread or food. To put it differently, they are saying, well, we are at the wrong place here. There's no food here. There's nothing to provide us with here. And they are saying, well, the time is running out. It's getting late. It's evening. Lord Jesus, don't you see it? Now look to the sky. And we need a meal and we need some sleep. Lord Jesus, please send the people home. Seems a reasonable request in this situation, doesn't it? Seems a reasonable request. But how does the Lord Jesus respond to a request like this? How does he respond? Does he agree with these kind of thoughts? Does he think like us when we can understand these thoughts? Does he understand his disciples? It doesn't look like it. He doesn't agree with it. He says in verse 16, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Now place yourself in their shoes now, in the disciples' shoes for a moment. 15,000 people probably, or more, in a desert place, is getting evening and needing food. All of them. And then the Lord Jesus says, now you do it. Give ye them to eat. Impossible, right, children? Impossible. Yes, it is. You see that? The Lord brings to impossible situations as often. And the Gospel of John tells us to whom the Lord Jesus was especially speaking. It was in the area of Bethsaida. That's where Philip came from. So he must have known where to get food. And he was speaking to Philip, according to John, the Gospel of John. And now when Jesus asked this question, there is a response that is very common to all of us, and that's the response of the disciples. How can we do that? You can see it, as it were, puzzling. Puzzled. How can we do this? We don't have the resources. We don't have the food. We have empty hands. Isn't that often what we do as the Lord comes in his word to us and talks to us about this or that? For instance, you need to kill this sin, or you need to obey God's word, or you need to pray, or you need to give, or we look to ourselves. What have I done? What am I doing? How am I doing? And we feel it's impossible. We don't have the resources. We feel fall short. And yet the Lord is in calm control of all these things. When he asks this question, he's in calm control. He's the only one who can supply your need. He's the only one. But our default response with the situations where we come and feel our need is often, let's try it or let's do it. I can do it. But the Lord brings us into these situations for a reason. He tells us in the Gospel of John that he was actually testing his disciples. We read there, and this he said to prove him, Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. So when we are brought in these situations, there is still the Savior looking into our hearts, to our responses. What are you doing? What are you thinking? What am I doing? Are we encountering this situation that is impossible and think, oh, I can do it, or this is impossible, oh, and we despair? That's generally what we do. Philip, he began to count his money, children, in the Gospel of John. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. That would not be sufficient by far, but you know, the Lord is in control. We start counting our own resources. But we need to learn to trust the Savior, who is generous and able to provide in the most impossible situations. What is it in your life? Crisis, difficulty, conflict, impossibility perhaps, tests, trials, hunger, spiritual need, whatever need. Sins that you can't overcome. Why does that happen? Why? It's impossible. Jesus wants to teach each one of us this morning. Without me, you can do nothing. I can supply all your need according to my riches. In your impossibilities, it's not impossible for me. If you have physical needs or spiritual needs or emotional needs or relational needs, he wants to show his generosity in those. And that's why he often brings us to that moment where we stand with our empty hands, yes, sinful hands, and need to come to receive what? Mercy and help in our time of need. Mercy, that's what we need. It's our greatest need, forgiveness. He's in control. And he teaches us often, no, you can do it. You can't. And we need to learn that lesson over and over, don't we? I am the one who needs, whom you need, rather. Now, interestingly, after some searching around children, they found something. It's not much. Verse 17. And they say unto him, we have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Again, the Gospel of John tells us something more about it. Children, this is precious. It was a little boy who had a lunch, maybe kept or so, for that day, not eaten that lunch. And 5 buns, we would say. It was not big loaves, no. It's 5 buns or so. And 2 pickled or dried fish that you could keep in the heat. That's it. That's all. That's not much, is it? That feels like it's nothing. Like nothing. You can't feed a crowd with that. It's impossible. But who is standing there? It's Jesus. The one who by a word created the heavens and the earth. That one. And so the Lord Jesus, what does he say? Bring them to me. Bring them hither to me. Verse 18. Bring them to me. No, Jesus doesn't need us, especially not in salvation. But when we talk about salvation, that's not how it works. Bring a little bit of yourself and Jesus will multiply it. No. That's not salvation. But in sanctification, that's how it works. When he has worked in us, he wants to use us. He doesn't despise the little things that we have. He can multiply them. He can multiply them. He can multiply your talent, your time, your treasure, so that they can be used in the hands of the Redeemer, so that all become instruments in His hand. Weakest means fulfill His will. Isn't it that the Bible tells us again and again and teaches us that lesson, that he loves to choose what is weak and what is foolish, to confound those who are wise and to confound those who think they are mighty. He often works contrary to our expectations, is it not? Contrary to your expectation, my expectation. Haven't you prayed sometimes and said, Lord, I want to be blessed? And what does he see is your need? He gives you a trial. And you think that's not an answer to prayer, is it? Maybe you've prayed for holiness. And what happens? Here's a difficult situation. Now learn to deal with it. How are you going to respond? I'm watching. And you see your unholiness as never before. So that we come and say, Lord, no, I can't. Just like these disciples, I can't. Impossibilities. Children, that boy, right? That boy, he brought his little lunch. Isn't that an encouragement for you? The Lord is not, wants to use even little children in His service. We don't need big and impressive gifts. No, no, no. If you, by the grace of God, have been born again and you follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to listen to His voice and you want to obey Him and you want to trust Him and you have only little things, little lunch, the Lord can transform that and use it in mighty ways. And He uses it so that He gets all the glory. That He shows, I am generous. I am generous. And He says to us all this morning, come with everything that you have and I can transform. I can use it. Come with your treasure, talents, and time. And give it all to Me. And don't hold it to yourself. Aren't we sometimes, it's also with the things of this world, with the things that are mine, we think, we are holding on just like a Babel to a rattle, right? We are holding on, not wanting to give. But no, we shouldn't be holding on to the world and to the sins. That's not helpful to us at all. And Jesus needs to teach us so that He can supply out of His abundant riches everything that you and me, according to His grace, according to His power, so that He receives all the glory. He says, about these little things, bring them to Me. And He says to us this morning, when you are following Him, now let your life be laid on the altar, all of it, all of it. And consecrate your lives entirely to Me. Then you will see My glory. Then you will know My generosity. Then you know in impossibilities that when you come with your empty hands, I have an abundance to fill you with. For time, yes, but especially for eternity. For all your spiritual need, what is it? He can provide out of His abundant riches for His own glory. Let's sing about that before we move on to the Lord Jesus' prayer. So let's go back to the crowd for a moment, children, and see and watch also, especially the Lord Jesus, as He's gathered there and the crowd is there, and He takes those bread and fish, and He first of all commands them to sit down, to recline. It's good to keep in mind that beautiful picture. Here is the good shepherd who saw the scattered sheep, remember. Here the good shepherd is leading his hungry and his scattered sheep into the green pastures. What a picture. And there they will not lack. Not lack anything. And now, children, look what he's doing. He takes those five loaves. We see that in verse 19. And what does he do first thing? It's always good, right? When God gives us good gifts, what do we do? Just like Jesus here. We look up to heaven. That means we pray. He looks up to heaven. He looks to his Father, the most generous giver of all. And there's a moment of blessed communion with the Father. Confession that all the good gifts come from him, the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow or variation of turning. And then what does he do? He takes that bread and he blesses the bread. Christ is saying, this is a gift of God. He is generous. He is good. He is kind. He is caring. He is that cheerful giver. He loves to give. He is willing to give. He wants to supply our need. He is able. He is able this morning also for your and my need. And so let us bless all that he gives. Bless him for it. Jesus himself could truly bless this food because he is God and man. And what does he do? Verse 19, he takes that food and then he breaks his children. He breaks the food. He gives it to the disciples. Disciples give it to the multitude. Isn't that precious? So there it was, in the hands of this little boy, into the hands of the disciples, into the hands of Jesus, and then it comes back. After it's blessed and prayed for, here it is, disciples, into the hands of the disciples, and from the hands of the disciples, back to the multitude. Also that little boy. Hungry souls he satisfies. Literally, yes, physically. But so he works even through his word and through his spirit. Scattered sheep, he feeds with the shepherd's hand to show who God is to us, generous, giving, kind, and to show his power also when you have little. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing. His power, his glory. That's how the Lord works. Think about it, children. It came from the blessed hands of the Savior who blessed this bread, whose hands would be pierced soon so that he could earn salvation. Maybe within 3 years they would be bleeding. Those blessed hands, pierced. And as it comes out of those hands, a miracle takes place. The power of God, the Creator, is on display. It keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. It doesn't stop. Isn't that why this word generous is truly a good word for the Savior? And what he does here for the physical body, he can do for you and for me spiritually. Absolutely. Absolutely. Generous, is that the word that resonates with your heart this morning? You know, it is all the way back in the fall that we thought, no, God is going to not give us from the tree that should be good for us. Satan said, well, that's good for you. And we thought it's good for us. And that's what we think when we see sin or when we are tempted to sin. We think it's good for us and God doesn't give us what we need. But no, that's not true. That's a lie. That's how we think about God. Not generous, not willing to give, not able to give. He's withholding things from me. He's not able to supply my needs. That's unbelief. Even God's children sometimes struggle with that again. But no, this here shows us the hands of the Savior. It multiplies. He is able to provide according to the multitude of his riches in glory. The King of heaven and earth. This, beloved, is Jesus, the bread of life, who sustains our life as no one else and sustains it like no one else. The one who became broken so that he can fill your souls and satisfy your and my hungry soul. What? With what? Forgiveness and grace and mercy and help in time of need. Power to fight your sin this week as we go into a new week later. Lord willing. Power to fight your sin. Yes, absolutely. He gives and he gives hope of eternal life. That's another good of his, one of his good gifts. He teaches us what? You need me. Surrender. Surrender everything. Everything. He teaches us. Now what you've been given, such love. Now use that love to love others. That's the generosity of the gospel. That's the generosity of the Savior. That's the good gifts he gives to us. Spiritual gifts. The bread of life Jesus Christ gives. And when we eat and when we trust in his forgiveness first and foremost, he can fill our hungry and thirsty lives as no one else. And he can satisfy as the manna that came down from heaven so that all will eat. His blood, his sacrifice is what earned it. His righteousness, his perfect life is what covers your imperfections. Yes, no, we should say sin. All your sin covers it. And so the Lord comes this morning with a gospel table. Are you eating? Are you eating from what he gives? Forgiveness and grace and mercy. Do you trust him to supply all your need? He's saying to you, I'm generous. I'm generous. I'm more than able. Look what I did for you on the cross. Here, he's providing manna. Moses, when there was no food in the wilderness, Moses prayed to the Lord, and there was manna. When there was no food here, the greater Moses, Jesus Christ, the mediator, the redeemer, the savior, he prays, and there's food. You see it? Taste and see that the Lord is good. He multiplies food. He is that right-hand man who intercedes for us. Hungry souls he satisfies. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Also this morning. And that brings us to our last thought here, the Savior's provision. Verse 20 and 21 we read, "And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up from the fragments, the pieces that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. They all ate, each one of them. They were all filled." Isn't that glorious? There was plenty left. When you come to your end of your resources, the Father's giving has just begun. Just begun. To all your impossibilities, He can fulfill your greatest need. What is your greatest need this morning? He can fulfill it. And even in sanctification, with your feeblest efforts, to maybe your smallest gifts that you give unto Him, that you say, "Well, it's nothing, but here it is." He can multiply it. He can multiply it out of His glorious abundance. Children, can you count how many baskets? 1, 2, 3, 4, 12 baskets. 12. For each disciple, 12 baskets filled with fish and bread. Just to tell, Jesus is generous. God is generous. The Father is generous. There is more than we need with God. More than we need. If there is a prodigal son and daughter here this morning, then I tell you, there's bread to spare, over and to spare in the house of the Father. Will you not go to Him? Will you not say, "The world doesn't satisfy me anymore. I come to Him." Only Christ can satisfy. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. It said about Joseph in Genesis that the storehouses of Egypt were all filled up and were overflowing. Here, this morning, we see who? Not only the greater Moses, we see the greater Joseph. His storehouses are filled and overflowing. Do you have an empty heart? Empty hands? Don't clasp to the things of this world. Don't clasp to your sins. Let them go by the grace of God. Ask the Lord to deliver you from the power of Satan. Because when you come with empty hands, and by the grace of God, cleansed hands, He can fill them to overflowing. When you learn to surrender all to Him, He can multiply. Jehovah Jireh. That's who God is. What does that mean? He sees and He provides. He provides. Jesus, the bread of life, broken on Golgotha to feed your soul. Jesus is saying to you this morning, and me, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." That is true generosity. And that word will especially be fulfilled that one day when He will feed as the good shepherd in heaven, even His children, and satisfy them with Himself. There, that one day, when we see the shepherd as He is, and we are changed into His likeness, There we will be fully satisfied. There we will enjoy the storehouses of the greater Joseph to the full. There we will ascribe all glory to him. There we will enjoy the eternal generosity of God. Blessed be the Lord. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ears. It soothes our sorrows, it heals our wounds, and drives away our fears. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. It is manna to the hungry soul, and to the weary, rest.